Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And it, of course, is a beautiful morning. We have good reason to say good morning today and enjoy this beautiful day. Well, I want to do a little history lesson today, and hopefully you'll find some things in here that are interesting. Starting off, I want to mention, of course, that we've been hearing a lot about voting, how you can pre-register, how you can get your ballot by mail, lots of things among a lot of people talking about voting. And so I want to relate that to the women's right to vote. And actually, in much of history, you hear that, you know, we should celebrate that in 2019, the 100 years. But it did, and it was passed by Congress, but it did not actually get enough votes from the states until August 26th of 1920 to be ratified and formally adopted into the Constitution. So what does that have to do with us, and what does that have to do with Iowa? Well, Susan B. Anthony is a name that most people, I think, at least recognize passing through their heads. They may not know everything she did, but at least they may know that she was related to women's suffrage. Another name that may not be so much in people's heads is Carrie Chapman Catt. Cherry Chapman Catt. Oh, that's a tongue twister. How about Carrie Chapman Catt? C-A-T-T. And the reason I wanted to talk about her is because she lived most of her growing up life in Iowa. She was born in Wisconsin, but when she was 7 years old, her family moved to Charles City, Iowa. So what's so important about her besides women's suffrage? Well, let's just take a look at some of the things that she did in her life that were firsts, were a little bit unusual. First of all, she entered Iowa Agricultural College, which is now Iowa State University, in 1877, and completed a bachelor's degree in general science in 1880, and she was the only woman in her graduating class. At that time, the college's academic year ran from spring through fall, so she completed her degree in 4 years. Also, some biographies mistakenly state that Catt was valedictorian of her class. Well, that information isn't available because the college did not recognize valedictorians at that time. And Catt was a good student, but there's no record about how good she was. The point is, she graduated from the agricultural college and the only woman to do so in science. She worked her way through school by washing dishes, teaching, and serving as a librarian's assistant. So then what happened to her next? Well, she went back to Charles City, where she'd grown up, to work as a law clerk, as a school teacher, and principal. And at the age of 24 in 1883, she was appointed the Mason City School Superintendent, one of the first women to hold such a position. While she was in that position, she married Leo Chapman, who was a publisher and editor of the Mason City Republican newspaper. But sadly, a year later, he died of typhoid fever. They had moved to San Francisco, and she stayed in San Francisco for quite a while. But while she was there, she canvassed for ads and wrote freelance articles. So she was a kind of a writer from her very beginnings. In 1887, Catt returned to Iowa to begin her crusade for women's suffrage. She joined the Iowa Women's Suffrage Association, organized suffrage events throughout the state, and worked as a professional lecturer and writer. In June of 1890, she married a wealthy engineer, George W. Catt, and that's C-A-T-T, whom she had first met at Iowa State and then also kind of reconnected in San Francisco. He supported his wife's suffrage work both financially and personally, believing that his role in the marriage was to earn their living and hers was to reform society. Just a little task. So during her time, Catt also became active in the newly formed National American Women's Suffrage Association. She was a delegate to its national convention in 1890, became head of field organizing in 1895 and was elected to succeed Susan B. Anthony as president in 1900. She continued to give speeches, plan campaigns, organize women, and gain political expertise. Kat's organizational speaking and writing skills established her reputation as a leading suffragette. From 1902 to 1904, Kat was a leader in the formation of the International Women Suffrage Alliance, serving as its president for about 20 years, and thereafter as honorary chair until her death. Kat resigned as president of the initial organization in 1904 to care for her ailing husband, and he died in 1905. And Susan B. Anthony died in 1906, and her younger brother in 1907, and her mother in 1907. So can you imagine, all of this left her pretty grief-stricken. Her doctor and friends encouraged her to travel abroad, so she spent most of the following 9 years promoting equal suffrage rights worldwide. In 1915, she returned to the United States to resume leadership of the national organization, which had become badly divided over suffrage strategies. In 1916, so now we're 3 years out from this finally getting approved by Congress, Kat proposed her winning plan to campaign simultaneously for suffrage at both the state and federal levels. And key to this final campaign for the vote was a bequest Kat received in 1914 of more than $1 million by New York City Magazine editor and publisher Miriam Leslie for the cause of women's suffrage. Well, in that time, $1 million, that was a nice little bundle of money, which helped to move things along. And of course, remember mentioning that she had worked worldwide. Sometimes we think that the United States and our local states were the only ones fighting for women's suffrage. Not true. This was happening all around the world. Under Kat's leadership, several key states, including New York in 1917, approved women's suffrage. In 1918, President Woodrow Wilson converted to the cause of suffrage. He had really been against it all the time, but he finally saw the light. That's my editorial, and supported a national constitutional amendment. So tireless lobbying by Kat and other suffragists, first in Congress and then in state legislatures, finally produced and ratified the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. And I said the 100th year celebration for that is coming up August 26th in 1920. In 1919, Kat proposed the creation of a nonpartisan educational organization for women voters. And on February 14th, 1920, 6 months before the 19th Amendment was ratified, the National League of Women Voters was organized in Chicago. And she was the honorary president for the rest of her life. The League of Women Voters remains active today and is frequently a training ground for women who later compete for offices. In 1923, Kat published Women, Suffrage, and Politics, The Inner Story of the Suffrage Movement. In addition to her suffrage work, Kat was active in several other causes, including international peace. In January 1915, after the outbreak of World War I, she joined with Jane Addams to organize the Women's Peace Party in 1925. And Kat founded the Committee on the Cause and Cure of War and served as its chairman until 1932. She supported the League of Nations after World War I and the United Nations after World War II. Between the wars, she worked for Jewish refugee relief efforts and child protection laws. She died in 1947 of a heart attack when she was now living in New York. Some things that she gained recognition, of course, through all of her work. She was featured on the cover of Time magazine In 1930, she received the Pictorial Review Award for her international disarmament work. In 1941, she received an award directly from her longtime friend, Eleanor Roosevelt. She was inducted into the Iowa Women's Hall of Fame in 1975 and the National Women's Hall of Fame in 1982. Well, recognition for a long life of service. And now you can learn more about her, and you can do that online, of course, in lots of ways. But the old Botany Hall at Iowa State University was transformed into Cat Hall, where work related to women and their work goes on. So if you want to know more about Carrie Chapman Catt, lots of places you can find that information. But if you're ever on campus at Iowa State, you might want to find the old Botany Hall. Maybe you even know where that's at, but now named Catt Hall, C-A-T-T. And take a look at all the information that is there about her and the work that goes on. So until next time, when all of you think about voting, remember Carrie Chapman Catt.